I certainly love this place, and I'm really, really thankful and appreciative my wife could be here. I was thinking just before coming up, we've traveled in mission conferences for 38 years, and I think this is the first one we've been together since January. We did do a Sunday in March, and we've been together, and I was away in Ohio last week without her, and I tell you, I really missed her. For a lot of reasons, but I'm so glad she's here, and we appreciate the opportunity to be back here at this place, and it meant a lot to me for how she supported me these many, many years of traveling, three-time breast cancer survivor, and just God certainly blessed. Pray for her. October 20th, our church is honoring her in a special way. She's retiring from our child care center. We're honoring her as 30 years of the pastor's wife, and she turns 70. And then the cancer survivor, all that's taking place there October 20th. It's a Friday night. Appreciate your prayers. And we're looking forward to a great time. I love your pastor. I love his wife. I love the children. And I really, really love Peyton, my great grandchild. I've adopted them as my children and their children as my grandchildren. And Peyton is my great-grandchild, and I pray for them every single day since I was here in 2015. And love you guys dearly. Thank you so much. And so that makes you like my church because they're my family. You're my family. So I'm going to act like I'm at home this week. And my wife says we're old enough that, you know, we're not like these young missionaries. We've been around for a while. So we certainly enjoy being here. Looking forward to a great time. Thank you for having us again. Thank you for coming on Wednesday night. I think Wednesday night is the most important night in the missions conference because what you do in your hearts on Wednesday night is going to help, at least the way I preach. I think you just build and build and build, and then what you do Sunday. So I'm glad you're here tonight, and I trust that God will bless, and we're looking forward to a great time. I want you to listen tonight. I'm going to teach and preach tonight, and then Thursday and Friday and whatever time Sunday, we're just going to keep adding on to it. And then Sunday morning, you're going to decide what to do about these wonderful servants. Missionaries are special, special people, and thank you for the ones you have this year. And I trust that God will help this church. They are helping this church do what God has commanded the church to do. And you'll be thankful to have them here. And that we're looking forward to a great time. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 for our message tonight. And once you find your place, if you're physically able to stand, I want you to stand with me. And I'll read a very, very familiar passage of scripture that you heard many, many times and very familiar to us, and we'll look at it here tonight and then let the Lord be able to speak to our hearts. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Our Father, we thank you so much tonight for God's people who've gathered here in the middle of the week. Many of them have worked and a lot of things going on. But they love you and they love what you love, the souls of mankind, enough to be able to make the time to be able to be here at the beginning of a missions conference. And Lord, I pray you'll work in a very, very special way. We thank you for Pastor and what he means, what he's done to lead this church to be able to have a missions conference and make the sacrifice. And I pray you'll meet with us this week. Thank you for these missionary families you've sent this here this week. And I pray you'll give us a great time together, challenge our hearts. May it not just be just a missions conference, Lord, but may you use it in a special way to speak to our hearts. Thank you for the safety you've given us and the privilege for us to be here and for Jeanette to be here with me. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bless our time together. Help us to be able to minister and be ministered to, and we'll thank you for it. Now bless the preaching of the word of God. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. I was thinking this afternoon, I was thinking, pondering in my heart about preaching, and I thought about here this particular message, which I've preached many, many times and preached from Matthew. No passage outside, since I've gotten saved, has meant any more to me and changed my life any more than Matthew chapter 28. I was thinking, as a second-year Bible student in 1980, I had surrendered to preach in 1978, and God had especially burdened my heart to be involved in establishing some fundamental Bible-believing independent Baptist churches in the black community, not for just the purpose of just doing that, but I believe that God had servants in those communities that if they got saved, got into a good Bible-believing church, God could call them to help reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe all people saved by the grace of God ought to give their time, give their talent, give their treasure to help reach the world. I learned that early in my Christian life, and I thank God. So I especially have been called to be involved in some way in starting churches in the black community. And I heard a good friend of mine, he's in heaven now, I did his homegoing service, preach in 1980, and I was sitting in my local New Testament church, and I heard him say this, world evangelization. I never heard that before. Now keep in mind, I'm thinking about going in and starting a church in 1981, and I heard the word world evangelization. God took that, touched my heart, and I went back to Matthew chapter 28 and pondered and spent some time, and I realized something. You can have all the passion that you have for a people, but if you're going to be biblical as a New Testament church, you've got to have a commitment to reach the world. I learned that in 1980. So in 1981, I also learned something else about a local church. When you start a local church, you're not going to have everything you want to have. For instance, we had no building. We had no choir director, we had no choir, we had no piano player, met in a banquet room, and as much as I desired to have a building and a staff and a piano player and a song leader and all of that, in the local New Testament church, you don't get ahead of God. God gives you those things at the right time. Had to wait. But in my heart, there was something that we couldn't wait. That Sunday morning, September 6, 1981, we gathered together. We took on three missionaries, a missionary to the Philippines, a missionary to Africa, and a local church planter here in the United States. Because I realized something, that the local church has a responsibility of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And though I waited 2 years for a song director, 2 years before we had a piano player, and several years before we ever have a building, we didn't wait to start our mission. Because I believe without a doubt, in 1980, God showed me from the Gospels that the mission of the church is missions. Missions is reproducing ourselves around the world. Would to God that we understand that God did not die for a segment of people. God died for the world. And I don't think it's right that Shadow Mountain should be here in this area and another city or another town or another country, another island doesn't have a church like this. I believe heaven is ours because Jesus died and shed his blood. But I believe the local church is what we need to challenge us because we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. My time is his. My talent is his. My treasure is his. I want to maximize my time here on earth and be everything that God would have me to be. The local church provides that. The Lord Jesus Christ said this. He said, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now here's what I believe. I believe when Jesus began his public ministry at the age of 30, 3.5 years, he established his local New Testament church. He taught it. He trained them. Amen. Then he died and was raised from the dead, walked on the earth for 40 years, gathered that church together, and he says, I'm going to give you something to do. And he gave the great commission to that local church to be able to evangelize the world. Now you stop and think about that. Jesus, I believe, established the church. Jesus Christ commissioned the church. Jesus Christ commanded the church.
And so if I'm saved and on my way to heaven, if I want to be right with God, I've got to be right with the local church. Amen. The church is not an organization, it's an organism. It's something that God uses. I God saved me, heaven's mine if I never go to church, but I'll never be what God wants me to be unless I get into a local church and help that church evangelize the world. And when I learned that, for 30 years, I preached and taught before every missions conference, Matthew chapter 28, the mission of the church. I never preach a missions conference, whether I'm preaching to 20 people or several thousand people, unless I preach the mission of the church. Because I'll tell you something, missionaries will never get on the field. Missionaries will never do what they need to do unless the local church understands its responsibility given to Almighty God to make it work. We're losing ground because the local church is not doing what God wants it to do. And if we understand that, if we get a hold of that, I'll have no problem giving. I'll have no problem praying. I'll have no problem going, because I'll walk into the local New Testament church, and here's what I do. I bring into that church a heart that needs to be mended by the preaching of the Word of God. The preacher stands here for 30, 40, 5 minutes, so how long are you preaching? An hour. And his job, look, his job is the one thing. You walk through those doors, all of this diversity, you bring in here a heart that needs to be mended. When that heart is mended by the preaching of the Word of God, it will go outside of those doors and minister to some other people. And as you minister to people, you'll mature in your Christian life. You will never be a mature Christian by just sitting on the pews. All right, so the church is designed by God to do that. So the Lord Jesus Christ, before he ascended to heaven after those 40 days, he gathered that church together. And in Matthew chapter 28 and Acts chapter 1 and the other three gospels, you're going to find he gives that church something to do. And that church is to do that until he comes back. It makes no difference where the church is, how large the church is, whether it's in a banquet room, whether it's in a large building, whether it's 20 people or 4,000 people or any size in between. He gave the church something to do. And once we get a hold of that, it changes our entire lives. So for a few moments tonight, I want you to look in this passage, and I want to show you from the passage, which you probably already know. And by the way, a missions conference is not coming to get something new.
That's right.
All we do in a missions conference, and I think every church ought to have one. We've had it for 34 consecutive years. The most important week of the year is our missions conference. We spend money, we tell our people, take off, get off from work, pray, get ready. We're about to have something that's very special. God's going to send us some special servants. They're going to help us to do the work of God. Let's love them. Let's pray for them. Let's come together. And as a team, let's help this church to do what God wants to do. All right, so I want to show, refresh us on what God gave Shadow Mountain Baptist Church, Crossroads Baptist Church, a church even in Papua New Guinea. We have been given this mission by Almighty God, and my job is to give my time, my talent, my treasure to help God's church carry out what he's given. That's simple. Does that make sense to you? Now let's look at this. We get the four things I'm going to show you. Three of them, I want to show you what God, and it's amazing to me how God laid this out for his church. He gives this church something to do, and I want you to follow it, and it makes sense. If the churches are doing this, we'll find out the world will be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's what God gave the church. Here's the mission of this local church. It starts out in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now the them he's speaking of, those 11 disciples that gathered together in corporate sense, he's talking to his church. Yes. He said, I'm about to go back to the Father, and I'm going to give you something to do. And what he laid out to the church is a plan to evangelize the world. Now, let me pause here for a second. We don't need a new plan. We've got the best plan Amen. In the world given by God. Amen. All right, so I don't come to church trying to find a new way to reach the world. I come to the church to get this old heart to carry out Amen. The old way. Amen. And if I understand that, if I bring a heart here, God, we can't improve upon the plan.
That's right.
All right, he said, all power, all authority is given unto me. What he's saying, the plan I've given to evangelize the world is an authentic plan because it was given by Christ, get hold of this, to the church as a command. All right, here's the way I look at it. We don't have any option when it comes to evangelizing the world. We have a plan that's authentic, given by Christ to the church as a command. When I understand that, all right, so what I'm going to check out this week is, how can I get more involved in getting the plan out? I don't have to say, can we do it this way or can we change this? No. We don't need to change anything about the plan. We just need to open up the old heart and hope one of these slide presentations, one of these testimonies, or the preaching of the Word of God is going to get me more committed to the plan. All right, so we have an authentic plan given by Christ to the church as a command. Now let's look at the plan. What is the plan that Christ gave to his church as a command? Matthew 28, verse number 19. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now the plan that's given to the church, first of all, is a mandated plan. All right? It's not an option. It's mandated. And in that plan that's mandated, he lays out a mission for the church. Now listen to me very carefully. The mission, the ministry that he lays out for the church that you do Saturday morning, I was reading in your pamphlet here. You have soul winning at 10 o'clock. That's part of the ministry of this local church. You go out on Saturdays. You go to work, you pass out tracts, you try to win people to Christ. The ministry of the church is very laid out in this plan. He says, first of all, go ye therefore and teach. That's evangelize. Every person who's a member of this living organism called the church ought to be involved in winning people to Jesus Christ. Get a hold of this. The whole idea is, he wants the church to reach the world. But it begins with a ministry of reaching people outside of these doors. If we're not willing to walk outside of these doors, on your job, among your friends, among your family member, and evangelize them, you're not going to Papua New Guinea. Right, so the mandated plan is that every church member is to evangelize somebody and try to win them to Christ. Then he says, after they evangelize, they ought to be baptized into the local New Testament church. That's very important. Getting people saved gets them to heaven. God's plan is get them baptized into the local church. All right, so we evangelize, that's part of the ministry. Baptize, that's the second part. Then we teach them or catechize. Every person is to be involved in discipleship. Stop and think for a moment. If you evangelize somebody, won them to Christ, got them baptized into the local church, and discipled them, you put somebody in the church that the Holy Spirit can mobilize to reach the world. Does that make sense? I go out every day and try to evangelize. If I win somebody to Christ, I don't stop there. I teach them the baptism of obedience. I want to get them into the local church. Why? The local church has been mandated to reach the world. So I want to get them in the local church. Then I want to work with them. I want to teach them and train them like somebody taught and trained me. Why? I want to put somebody in there that when you have a missions conference or the preacher is preaching, that the Holy Spirit of God will mobilize them to go to Papua New Guinea or some other place in the world. But if I don't get them evangelized, baptized in the local church, where is the Holy Spirit going to work to get him in the missions? So I've got to understand it. That's my responsibility. That's the ministry of the local church. So if I'm doing that, and every local church ought to be doing that, we're not doing as well as we ought to be doing, but everybody ought to come in here, get mended, go out and minister, that you might mature, because you want to evangelize, get them baptized, catechize or teach them, that the Holy Spirit might mobilize them in the work of God. You got that? All right, that's the plan. That's the mandate. That's the ministry. But the mission is to take that same ministry of evangelizing, baptizing, teaching to every person and every place. That's the mission of the church. We don't stop here. We evangelize, get them baptized, teach them, and in that local church where they're being taught, they will be mobilized. If that is done by the local church, then that was God's plan to evangelize the world. Now, that's the plan laid out very clear. I saw that 7 years. I'm preaching as a pastor, trying to preach this and supporting mission. And by the way, when I first preached this 30 some years ago, I preached on the mission of the church because I read it in the Bible and believed it. I preach it now because I read it in the Bible, believed it, and I've seen it work. I've seen a little church go from a banquet room with a handful of people, take on 3 missionaries the first Sunday, just had our last missions conference. We run about 400 people, lots of children, don't have 100 couples in our church, but I saw that little church commit over $400,000 to world evangelization, went over the $11 million world evangelization, 28 churches started, several hundred have been called into the ministry because people understand our church is to reach the world. We can't reach the world unless we're evangelizing in our community, bringing something in the local church, some people in the local church, that the Holy Spirit might mobilize into the world. At least to me, it's as clear as eating. I see it very plain. That's the plan of God. And then when I look at the fact who gave the plan, the Lord Jesus Christ, it tells me it's authentic. So we don't spend a whole lot of time trying to find a new way to do it. We spend a whole lot of time trying to get the heart to do what God's already laid out. So the plan, the mission of the church, has an authentic plan that's given by Christ to the church as a command. That tells me that if I'm not trying to get that plan to work in my local church, I'm not right with God. I'm not doing what God wants us to do. And we find that all the time. So we need to understand that's the mission of the church. He didn't give it to a college. He didn't give it to a missionary. He didn't even give it to an individual. He gave it to the local church. So as an individual, if I want to help get involved in the plan, I've got to get in the church and use my time, talent, and treasure to help the plan work for God. All right, so the mission of the church is missions. He gave the church the plan to evangelize the world. That's a big, big, tall order. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. But I'm going to show you what else he did. He goes on in that same passage I just read, verses 19 and 20, and notice what he says to the church that's evangelizing, baptizing, catechizing, the Holy Spirit is mobilizing. He's saying, you're doing it my way. It's a big task. He said it to the first church. He's saying it to the church today. Then he says, along with that assured plan, with that authentic plan, I have an assured promise that goes along with it. Notice what he said to the church. And lo, Pastor quoted this a few minutes ago. I am with you always. How long ago did Jesus say that? 2,000 years ago, right? He said to the church, you got to evangelize the world. That's my plan. I know what I'm doing. I spoke the world into being in 6 days. So obviously, he knew what he was talking about. Yeah. He said, don't look at how difficult it is. Don't look at the size. You look at whether you are a New Testament church or not. You have that mandated plan to perform that ministry as a mission that's authenticated by me. If you are doing it, you have an assured promise that's twofold. Lo, I am with you. Wow. You're not by yourself. Amen. You don't have to worry about getting it done. If I'm doing it with you, If I'm with you always, he says, lo, I am with you. You know what that tells me? The church and the members of the church that's out evangelizing, getting baptized, and getting people into the local church to reach a world has God's direct presence with you while you're doing it.
Amen.
Every soul winner, forget your personality. Forget that you're timid. God's with you every time you're trying to do that. Because you're helping the church do what God has commanded it to do. So he says, you have my direct presence with you while you're doing it. But then he says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world or the end of the age. You know what he's saying? You not only have my direct presence, but I'm giving this with my divine providence. You know what I look at that him saying there? I don't care what changes in the world.
Yes.
It doesn't change my plan.
Amen.
Wow, you mean it makes no difference who's in the White House? It makes no difference what the economy is like? It makes no difference the size of, it doesn't matter, he says. I gave it then 2,000 years ago, and it works today in 2017. So we have this authentic plan that's assured God's promise of his direct presence, divine providence. How many people have ever said, I thought I was too shy to witness to someone, and then all of a sudden I followed God's command, and God gave me the words to say and the boldness to say it? That's the way it works. He said, look, the weaker you see yourself, the stronger you can see me working through you. He said, I know what I'm doing. I've given my church a mission to evangelize the world. It has an authentic plan with my assured promise. And then he goes on and he says something else. Look, go over to Acts chapter 1 for a moment. We'll see the Great Commission given there. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. The Great Commission given here, we find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and also Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now picture this. Here's the plan. It's authentic, given by Christ to the church as a command. You have a ministry. Evangelize. Get them baptized. Catechize or teach them. And I'll mobilize them. I'll call them out of your local church. And as they go, every missionary goes to the field. Every church member that goes soul winning. Every tract that you give out. Every time you sit down and try to help the church to do that, you have my direct presence. And no matter what circumstances you face in life, it's my divine providence. I've taken care of it already. And then thirdly, he says, with this authentic plan, my assured promise, there's an available power. There's an available power. But ye shall receive power. Speaking to the church, this is not authority he's talking about here. It's the power to get the job done. Here's what he's saying to the church. I have made my power available. He is a reliable power. The Holy Spirit is our source. He's our strength. You know what's missing in God's people today? The power of God upon our lives.
Yeah.
We're doing too many things in the flesh. You know what God's looking for? A vessel that he can cleanse, that will be emptied, that he can fill to get the gospel around the world. He says, my power is available. It's available. He's a reliable power, our source, our strength, our success. We just need to become a responsible people and get the job done. The church has been immersed in the power of God. You picture those 11 disciples, Jesus speaking to them and telling them to go evangelize the world. He said, go to Jerusalem and tarry till you be endued with power. He wasn't telling you to go there and wait till you get a second blessing. You go there and wait till you get the first blessing.
Yeah.
He says, if I'm going to give you a command like this, you're not going to do it in the flesh.
Yeah,
you're not going to do it, the leaven of you all. But if I immerse, and he immersed the church in the power of God and set it on fire, and it turned the world upside down. That's the same God we serve today.
Yeah.
God, and by the way, we need the power of God upon us whatever we do.
Yes.
We, you know, carnal people can't please God. I tell people where I preach, missions is spiritual business. God's not looking for us to be perfect, but he's looking for us to depend upon him. Every day of our lives, we ought to get up, say, Lord, God, cleanse me, empty me, fill me, help me to have the power of God upon me to do what I need to do for the glory of God. So he says, my power is available. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to go across the street when he gives the Great Commission, go to another state, go among the difficult, don't look at anybody and think they can't be saved. Go around the world and do it all at the same time. This is what my church ought to be doing. Now picture this, and here's the amazing thing that still gets to me today. God gives an authentic plan, all power, all authority is given unto me. You know what I'm saying? I can do this. I have a right to do this. I'm God. I have the authority to tell my church to evangelize the world. I also know that my church can't do it by itself. Therefore, I've assured them of a promise. I know that they can't do it in the flesh. So I've made available my power. And I want my church has been immersed in the power of God. And I can call people out of my church that will go across the street and evangelize. They will go to another state and reach people. They will go among the homeless and the poor people in all walks of life and win them to Christ and get them in the local church. And they'll go around the world. And I've so given this plan that it can all be done at the same time. And I want you to listen to number four that gets me today. We have this authentic plan that came from God, this assured promise that came from God, this available power that came from God. But then he says, it'll never be advanced except by the provisions of my people. He didn't call angels to do it. Now you would think a God, from a human perspective, gives us an authentic plan, gives us an assured promise, gives us this available power, says, I want it advanced by the provisions of my people. You see why missions is spiritual business? God wants people to do it because they love him. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, this very familiar passage that we've seen. How many believe that God could have called angels to preach? The rocks could have cried out. But he says, I've given the plan. It's authentic. I've assured my church of a promise that I'm with them. I've made my power available to accomplish the task. But it will not go anyplace unless it's advanced by the provisions of the people of God. And that's why we have faith promise. That's why we have grace giving. That's why we have time and talent. God says, I want people that I have redeemed to love me and love what I love enough to give their time, give their talent, give their treasure to advance the plan I've given the local church. The Apostle Paul, the great missionary church planning evangelist, writing to the church of Philippi, a very familiar passage in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated or shared with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which was sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul, the great missionary, writing to the church of Philippi, writing back to a church that made sacrifice. He said this church supported him as a missionary financially. He goes on to say they sent faithfully. On a regular basis, you sent once and again. Because you realized my need under my necessity. In verse 18, he talked about how the sacrificial giving of this church was well-pleasing to God, a sweet odor to the nostrils of God. And he's talking about a missionary offering from a local New Testament church that didn't let its circumstances dictate their willingness to sacrifice for the work of God. And then he makes a promise that we all claim all the time, that oftentimes we don't have a right to claim. He is simply saying, when a church, when a member of a church sacrifices to give, to advance the plan of God, he says, you won't have a need that God will not supply in your life. He was saying, having a heart for missions is not based upon what you can figure out. Having a heart for missions is based on your relationship with me. And it says, if you care enough about people being saved and escaping hell, enough to give your time and give your talent and give your treasure sacrificially, you won't have a need that God won't supply and take care of. And he's writing that to a local church. I've seen that. I've seen God do miracles. And I don't talk about a lot of them because sometimes you talk about the miracles of God, you sound like you're bragging. But the God that I serve takes care of his church and take care of his people who take care of his plan. And we're going to pick up this week from the fourth point. I'll review all week long those first three. But the rest of the missions conference ought to center around this. If God gave the church an authentic plan to evangelize the world, and he did, and if God has assured the church, if we're doing it, of the promise of his direct presence and divine providence, if God has made available his power to get it done, but then pauses and shows, by the way, it will never be advanced except by the provisions of God's people. My goal as a member of the church this week ought to be, what can I do this week to help my church advance that plan? If we don't do it, God's not just going to send an angel to do it or have the rocks cry out. He died for us, saved our soul. And if he's controlling our life the way he wants to, we'll have people going. We'll have people giving. I've seen churches of all sizes not look at their circumstances, but look at their God. And God moves upon. Every time you sacrifice to help get a missionary to feel, every time you bring a heart into a church, God's not going to call everybody in here to go to the mission field. He'll call everybody in here to go across the street to another state, among the difficult, and around the world. He's going to call some to go around the world, everybody to go outside of these doors. It's a church effort. And this week, God, help me to help my church advance your plan around the world, because the mission of the church is missions, reproducing ourselves around the world. God's given us an authentic plan. That plan is simple. I'm mandated to evangelize, get people baptized, catechized. The Holy Spirit is the one that's mobilizing. If we don't bring any people in here for the Holy Spirit to mobilize, we're not going to have any missionaries going around the world. We went unto Christ and do our part. He'll call them to go to the mission field. And then God, help us to get them in here. And then help me to take my time, my talent, and my treasure to help advance that authentic plan around the world as a mission to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk a lot about this week. And I want you to pay attention to every slide presentation, every testimony, every conversation you have. You see, no speaker ever makes a church be what God wants it to be in a missions conference by having messages. It takes missionaries to share their burden. It takes a pastor and his leading. It takes a preacher to preach the word of God. It takes fellowship. It takes attendance. It takes all of that because God is interested in moving upon the heart of every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, because Shadow Mountain Baptist Church has been mandated by Almighty God to take its ministry as a mission to every person and every place, and it won't be taken unless God's people advance it by giving our time, giving our talent, giving our treasure. May God help us this week to understand the mission of the church is missions. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, humanly speaking, if since the plan is so authentic because it's given by Christ to the church as a command, and the promise is so assured because you've never failed, the power is so available, we can accomplish, but it won't be advanced except by the provisions of the people of God. And I pray that you'd help us to have the attitude of the Church of Philippi, that we'll sacrifice, we'll give, regardless of our circumstances, to get the missions around the world, trusting you to supply every need that we have, because the mission of the church is missions. And maybe even tonight, Lord, you may have someone here that you want to mobilize. They have been evangelized, baptized, catechized, taught, trained, and you may mobilize them to go to some place in the world to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Lord, everyone needs to make themselves available to pray and to give. And I pray that you'll do in this church this week what only you can do, and help us to advance this cause as if it's the only church on the face of the earth trying to reach a world, which means we have to rely upon your strength and your power. Now you bless if there be one here tonight who's never been saved, have never trusted Jesus Christ. May they come. Let someone take a Bible and show them how to go to heaven. Now you bless, you speak to our heart. Help us to get this mission into our heart that you might be able to use it all week long and speak to us in a special way, that at the end of the service on Sunday night, this conference ends, that every person here will have been reached to the level you would have them to reach to help this church to carry out its mission. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.